Welcome to the Christian Emergency Podcast, a podcast for Christians spooked by the growing hostility in the culture today. We will tackle a range of topics from current events, persecution, missions, and what it means to be the church. You will gain valuable insights from those experienced working with persecuted Christians around the world, insights we all need to chew on in these strange days. Together, may we help the church stand. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Christian Emergency Podcast. I'm Andy Coleman, your host. And before we get into the topic for today, I just want to look at the Christian Emergency Alliance, which is the sponsor of this podcast, and just recognize the unique ways that it serves the kingdom, and it's a joy to be a part of it. It is ministering to people overseas, many of whom are persecuted and facing intense pressures, very intense pressures in their own rights. We help them to stand. We help them in their ministry efforts, whether that's growing or strengthening the kingdom through evangelism, their own discipleship initiatives, youth initiatives, helping them to connect and to gain strength under the pressures that they're bearing up under. And at the same time, the Christian Emergency Alliance gets to help in ways that support and strengthen the church in the West and other parts of the world where pressure is newer. It's not that it's never happened here, but for many of us, pressure is not something that we've seen in these lands in many generations. And the temperature is certainly ticking up, but we have the opportunity through podcasts like this and other efforts to really learn how the church has held up in the past. How have we stood strong? How have we allowed the Spirit to move in and through us? How have we as a church looked out to others and supported them during difficult seasons? And so many times when we're ministering overseas, helping in those contexts, we're actually back funneling many of the lessons and the perspectives and the encouraging testimonies from them so that we can learn from them. And it's a one-stroke, two-stroke type engine that this little ministry is a part of, and it's just really exciting. It's connecting the church. It's helping us to bridge gaps, whether that's geographic. Maybe that is just communities that we would never hear from. We get to champion those who probably don't have enough voices speaking out on their behalf. So there's just a lot of ways that we get to help one another, to serve in these strange days that we are living in. And it's a real honor to be able to play a small role in that. And speaking of small, I like small. There's something about small. When I look at the landscape, the cultural landscape around us, it seems like many institutions, especially those that get really big, look at, you name it, governments, look at big business, look at big efforts within the church. So often they are prone to corruption and decay and problems. Often I believe it is a interest and influence. It's these big institutions that are thinking how they can grow their influence, maintain their influence, leverage their influence, often for non-biblical means, that things can get pretty ugly. So to be a part of a small ministry, a nimble ministry, something that's able to serve faithfully, the Christian Emergency Alliance is constituted entirely of volunteers, just people sacrificially giving of their time and energy and talents as they can, being tent makers, earning their own incomes on the side, just doing what we can to be faithful as we're led by the Spirit. That's a fun thing to be a part of. And so I just want to give a special shout out to everybody that has helped out with this ministry. They're not known. They're just doing things faithfully. The Lord knows who they are. But I also want to thank everybody who has just saddled up and partnered with us financially. They have chipped in at the Christian Emergency Alliance. Many have just stepped up prayerfully and just lifted us up and lifted up our efforts. A lot have just been very patient with us too, as we're a younger ministry just standing up. So a lot of gratitude to go around, and it's just been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see what the Lord does in the days ahead. I do believe that the Lord rewards those who have skin in the game. They are led. They don't always know exactly how things are going to play out, but they take steps of faith when they are prompted by the Spirit and they're so led. I just sense that God honors that, and will come alongside and continue to help that ministry, provided that it stays faithful to the calling and to the good work and to the efforts to make Christ's name famous all around the world and to be a blessing to his kingdom and what he is doing in this day. So with all of that, I do want to turn our attention to the topic of today. I don't have a guest, but instead we're going to be speaking with a guest from the past. Francis Schaeffer, many of you will know that name, but he was a Christian theologian. He was a cultural commentator, a prolific author. He was a pastor. He passed away in 1984, but before that time, he really took hard looks at the world around him. He looked at Scripture and he integrated them and was very diligent to try and see the world through a biblical lens and to see things in the whole and not in parts. So if he was looking at economics, if he looked at history, he was able to integrate this from a biblical perspective and to really draw some excellent insights for us. And he put together some content. It was called How Should We Then Live? It was a book, and he also turned it into a documentary, which can be viewed. It's still available. I think the different episodes are available on YouTube, so you can go out and check this out for yourself or get the book. But there was one aspect, so even though he taught us to look at the whole and not in parts, I do just want to take a segment of some of that material and examine what it means for us today. He was looking at this decades ago, but I do think a lot of the insights bear truth today. One thing that I want us to glean is the fact that we have a lot to learn from past generations. There's a tendency to go to bookstores or to see what's available, what content is out there, and really look for what is new. What's the latest publication? What's just hit the presses? And all of that. But as Christians, we have such a rich history and heritage that we can tap into. I've heard some people give good counsel along the lines of, for every new book you read, read one old book. So that's a good principle, and that's why I'm turning to Francis Schaeffer to essentially be a guest with us from the past. And he spoke in episode 10, I believe, of this documentary. He just had a few minutes where he shared about how media could be manipulated and how Christians really need to be aware of that, how we need to see through that, how we can't allow ourselves to be framed to see things that might distort truth or confuse us or lead us to wrong conclusions, how we need to be discerning and wise and how we view the world around us. And so the challenges that he was describing was with like television and journalists. And the same principles hold true today, although I think Francis Schaeffer would have a whole lot more to say if he could look at our modern times, what was social media, how major media has really consolidated narrative control in ways that he warned of, but may not have seen as fully fleshed out as it is today. I think he'd have a whole lot to share with us. But again, the general principles that he shares is illuminating for us as believers in 2023. And so I'm just going to play some of the clips from this video segment, and I'll pause it here and there to just chime in a little bit, but most of the gold is going to come from Francis Schaeffer himself. Again, you can check this out on YouTube. You can get the book. Very, very prominent author whose impact is still being felt today, and who, if this is new to you, I'm glad that I can introduce you to Francis Schaeffer. So with that, let's go ahead and get started with the video.
Humanism has found no way to deal with the problem of morals and ethics and values. And Rousseau's romantic utopian theories led to the violence of the French Revolution and to the guillotine. Now, when we begin to talk about an authoritarian elite, please do not think of the model of Hitler and Stalin. That would miss the mark completely. What we're facing is something much, much more subtle, something of which Hitler and Stalin would not provide the model at all. Rather, it's in all probability going to be a manipulative authoritarian elite. A manipulative authoritarian elite.
Just real quick, just as a reminder, this man is speaking, I believe this was released in 1977, so this must have been produced in 76 or 77, many, many decades ago, and he is just hitting the nail on the head. So much of what we see does not entail any consideration of values or virtue, especially from a biblical sense. So he saw that starting to arise in his day. And he's also describing this more nuanced form of totalitarianism that has in recent years been described as soft totalitarianism. It's not the hard, brutal, tactics of the communist countries, which Francis Schaeffer was well familiar with, because this is during the era of the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc. No, it wasn't going to be those hard brass tactics, but instead this more soft, influential, that constitutes what many describe today as soft totalitarianism. So he really, again, looking at things in a holistic manner, was able to discern these patterns as they were emerging well before they were as well-formed as they are today.
And, of course, we must think of manipulatory possibilities of television. It has its own tremendous possibilities.
Violence broke out again last night as some young people were prevented from meeting peaceably in the downtown area by noticeably nervous, if not to say trigger-happy, police. Frank Bushman, attorney for the young people who are to be arraigned in court tomorrow morning, pointedly remarked on this overreaction by the police.
So right here in the video, at least, because I know you're listening on audio podcast, but in the scene, they're switching the channels to another newscast, but it's going to be covering the same scene. So let's see what changes.
I hereby declare this an unlawful assembly.
Late last night, disorder broke out among a small, unruly mob as our guardians of the peace quietly and efficiently, in spite of extreme provocation, restored order.
I command you to disperse.
So in both scenes, it's capturing the same events, but obviously through different angles. This is basically a lot of young people in the street, and they're clashing with police who are trying to corral them and disperse them. So there's a lot of scenes, a lot of posturing, some violence, some rock throwing, all of that's going on.
It is important that our courts make an example of these hoodlums and hand out the kind of sentences they so richly deserve.
We staged this scene. We filmed it to show that television can tell any story that it wants to tell. In both versions, the action was the same, and the actors did exactly the same things. However, the camera was placed differently. The editor edited differently, and the announcer told a different story. We would be naive not to realize that what we're seeing is an edited symbol. But the nature of TV is such, we see it with our own eyes, that we naturally look at it as though it were objective truth.
And how true is this for us today in the era of social media, when things can be posted, you can see videos and not realize that they've been edited, not realize that they may have been taken from different areas or even different times. I've seen people post something that was 5, 6, 7 years old. People presume that what they're watching is fresh and current, and they draw their own conclusions. This has a very powerful manipulative effect on viewers, and Christians really need to be aware of that, especially in this age where, just as Francis Schaeffer was demonstrating, that it can all depend on the way that the story, the narrative is framed and shared, that it can make a huge difference in the message conveyed. But here you had two contrasting views on the same events. I think if you look at major media outlets today on television, you know, broadcast news, the major news publications, it seems like there is very much a coherent single narrative that is being advanced, and accounts that fall outside of that are not aired. They're not given airtime. If it doesn't meet the criteria, it just doesn't see the light of day. We do have independent journalists out there and some social media options to go in and have alternative content available, so it's not like it's completely fenced off from us, but it is very, very powerful. You've seen this with the challenges if you've been tracking things with Twitter and how it's changed ownership and has allowed more content to be aired than the other social media outlets. It's been very illuminating, and you have this competition going on.
We will return to the podcast momentarily, but first, a word from our sponsor. Being a Christian today can be hard. This is true if you live in a heavily persecuted country like Iran, or areas where cultural pressures against Christians are growing fast, like America and Europe. Fortunately, none of us have to stand alone. We are part of a giant body, one huge spiritual family that spans the globe. That is the church. The Christian Emergency Alliance is committed to helping the church stand, regardless of the pressures to come. As a 501c3 nonprofit, the Christian Emergency Alliance strives to help our spiritual family when persecution hits. We also strengthen the church by supporting ministry that makes Christ famous, defends biblical truth, and prepares fellow believers for challenges ahead. You have the opportunity to make a huge impact in this work today. Become a monthly financial ally of the Christian Emergency Alliance by signing up at christianemergency.com. Your support of $25 a month or a gift in any amount will bless those who need help in these darkening days. Help the church stand today, tomorrow, and in the days to come. Register today at www.christianemergency.com. And now, back to the show.
But this is very powerful. And the fact that Francis Schaeffer was using a police confrontation to illustrate his points, I think is illuminating, because so much of, especially what's happened with the police in the West, police in the United States, and the framing of how people should view them, almost presume to know what they're thinking, that is concerning. So it's interesting that Francis Schaeffer sees on this to focus his illustration.
For many, what they see on television is more true than what they see with their eyes in the external world.
And people take advantage of that. I do think it has such a powerful effect that they presume that it is true, and they might even jettison evidence to the contrary in their own lives that they could point to and speak to. That's how powerful these effects are from the media.
Let me stress, it is always unfair to say the media does this or the press does that. There are always individuals or individual publications, for example, that are not included in the generalization. But the mass media can be used by an authoritarian manipulating government or an elite. The elite gives the arbitrary absolutes, and then not only TV, but all the mass media can be used for manipulation. And a plot or a conspiracy are not needed. All that is needed is that the people in the places of influence and those who decide what is the news have in common the modern results of humanism, the modern worldview, which we have considered at length in this series.
I would also say that what's also needed is an audience that's perhaps predispositioned to accept what they're told. If they are incapable of critical thinking or challenging what they're seeing and processing, is this really true? What else could be going on? How does this track with my understanding of other events? And for us as Christians, how does this track with Scripture? Does this have the ring of truth to it? If we are really just programmed to parrot whatever we're told and accept whatever we're told, that's going to be much more easy of an environment to be controlled through things like a consolidated media effort.
When the perspective, the worldview of the elite, coincides with some of the influential news carriers, it does not have to be all, then either consciously or unconsciously, the media becomes an instrument for manipulation. Now, what will all these available manipulatory techniques mean in our own countries? I'm not thinking of communist countries now. countries that have gone totally totalitarian, but in our own countries, there will be people who will feel uncomfortable with the increased control and increased manipulation. But there's a dilemma here, and it's a very profound one. And the dilemma is that many of the people who speak out for civil liberties are also totally committed to the fact that the government has the responsibility to solve every problem.
And here, I think that Francis Schaeffer is again essentially seeing ahead of his time and describing so much that happened in the wake of the pandemic of 2020, 2021, especially in Christian circles. This was the Romans 13 showdown with others who argued from scripture that the government had its realm, its responsibilities, its duties, and that their authority needed to be honored and obeyed, but that they could exceed that. Churches were shut down. People were not allowed to congregate. This despite circumstances where in some states bars were opened, casinos were allowed to open, brothels were allowed to open, but churches were deemed unessential and therefore closed. And some pastors agreed that the government needed to be followed and that that was all proper. And you had other pastors who looked at scripture and absolutely rejected that. They opened up their churches. They brought their congregants, many of whom were struggling. Here they are isolated, alone. They're in trouble. Some of them have lost their jobs. All kinds of pressures are weighing down upon them. They're crashing upon them. And they had a responsibility to their flocks. And these shepherds, these pastors, in those areas defied these excessive orders by the states. But there very much was this tension where people, for the first time, were really conflicted. Like, wait, I've always thought that I have to honor and obey this, but can they exceed their authority? Is this right? What about my congregation? What about my spiritual family? What about my family?
And there's a natural tension, a torque in these two things as they think both things. Now, as the pressures increase, and they just overwhelmingly increase as time goes on, at a certain point, where is the line going to be drawn? Certainly, if they have only the values, the basic values of personal peace and fluency, at a certain point, their disquiet will be totally submerged.
In other words, if what our guiding light is going to be comfort and a lack of pain, then we will be tempted just to keep quiet. We'll be tempted to follow the path of least resistance, which isn't great. That is not the way that Christ models for us. That's not what he prescribed when he spoke to the church or what we read in scripture. We are called to faithfulness. We are called to honor the Lord and render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto the Lord what is the Lord's. We need to be willing to follow Christ even when it leads to pressure and problems and hassles. We are called to be faithful.
The Christian consensus gave us such tremendous freedoms. Of course, as we've said many times, the basic Christian message is that an individual can be right with God only upon the basis of the work of Christ alone. That's all he needs. And the humanist element has gone out of that. But it carried with it, of course, many, many secondary things. And one secondary thing was this tremendous range of freedom that we've been talking about, freedom that didn't lead to chaos. But now listen, don't you see that if you can have these titanic freedoms not leading to chaos because of the Christian consensus providing a form, if you remove that Christian consensus as a form, then the very freedoms which have been such a glory and a wonder that we have had from the Christian consensus, these very freedoms then become the hammer blows to destroy everything and to lead completely to chaos. In other words, the good thing becomes the poor thing once the consensus, the form, is removed. Now, that's exactly what has occurred.
So if you look at the founding of like the United States of America, several of the founders can be found noting that the Constitution of the United States was really formed for a moral and religious people, that a lot of the framework of these freedoms, of the ability to self-govern, depended upon faithful people, that depended on people that at least honored a biblical rubric of some sort. But if we don't have that, if we are driven by a materialistic view of existence, of the world, it's all going to really crater into a competition for power. It just descends into a power play. There is no objective truth. There is no transcendent truth. It is just what man says, and it does inevitably lead to chaos. And a lot of that chaos is what we're seeing around us. We as Christians need to just recognize that God is not shocked by this. He's not surprised that he is sovereign and he is with us even today. And he is working and redeeming so much even through the darkness that is in play. We need to remind ourselves of that and not be shocked when we see things breaking down around us.
Now, coming and thinking of the United States, we could think of other countries in the Western world, but I'll choose the United States. From what source might the authoritarian, manipulating government come? Most people immediately, of course, think of the administrative side, a president with too much power. But the administrative side isn't the only place to think, keep your eyes on. Now, it's true that it's harder to think practically of the congressional side bringing forth such an authoritative government, but it's not unthinkable. A public official serving on the very highest level in the United States at one point said a very wise thing. What he said was, and I'm quoting, "Legislative dictatorship is no better than executive tyranny." And he's absolutely right. It isn't a question of from what side of the government the authoritarian manipulative government comes. The problem is it's coming. The fact that it is, the danger is there.
And I think you could even go further and look out at the world around us, whether it's in the United States or other places, but you do, in many instances, seem to have a fusion. It's not far off of a fusion between, for example, the separation of powers, these different branches that were designed to check power amongst one another. You almost can see a consolidation of views, of worldview, of priorities between the judiciary, between the executive, between the legislative. They really are marching in the same direction to the same tune. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a problem where you have an authoritarian impulse from any one branch that supersedes the others. You really can just have a consolidation of that worldview in separate branches that drives them in the same direction. So that's something that is in play as well. So I thought that was a helpful little bit of insight from Francis Schaeffer, A Blast from the Past, literally. Again, this is the type of material that you can go and look up for yourself, watch it in context, watch it with your families or small groups, whatever. And I know this is a little bit different than some of our contents that we put out on this podcast. But again, going back to how I led into this episode, it's a joy to be a part of this small effort to try to strengthen the church where we have some weakness. One of our weaknesses right now in various countries around the world is the ability to think coherently in wholes and to think clearly in ways that help us to respond to situations and not just react in an unbiblical fashion because we've been blindsided. We need to strengthen one another and prepare for pressures, but also look to Christ, be in the Word, and be excited for these days that we get to be a part of, that God very much is involved with. And the church is advancing where the church doesn't resign itself to the challenges around it. One of the powerful insights from the persecuted church is that we do not look to the powerful, the challenges around us to gauge whether we can be faithful or not. Instead, we always have an open door. We always have the opportunities to be faithful, even though it will cost us. It's a costly obedience, and that's okay. There's joy in that. God will move in that, and it will be exciting to see people who have never even considered the claims of Christ. They may not have ever heard the gospel, but they will in this cocktail of circumstances, they will, and many will come to Christ, and the church will advance, even as it's refined by pressure. So to be a part of this small ministry that helps in those areas at the same time where we're involved in persecution response overseas or helping with frontier gospel efforts, evangelism, discipleship, helping with young people here and abroad, it's just a lot of fun to be a part of. So I hope this was helpful to you, and God bless you all, and have a fantastic week. Thanks. Bye. Thank you for joining us today for the Christian Emergency Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. Also, tell your friends about us and ask them to subscribe as well. To learn more about the Christian Emergency Alliance or financially invest in our ministry, visit us at www.christianemergency.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you again for listening, and stand strong out there.